Revelation chapter 7, verses 15 through 17, but let us read from verse 9. This is the word of God. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, These are these who are clothed in the white robes. Who are they? And where have they come from? I said to him, My Lord, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Amen. Please be seated. Let us ask our Lord to bless the preaching of the word. Let's pray. Oh Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Bless the preacher, bless your people. Oh Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and your people will hear your word. Grant all of us an ear to hear your word, hear your voice through your word, telling us the beautiful stories of Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us. Let us see our eternal reality, our heavenly reality, and be satisfied. For we, through your word, we see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Let us bring all glory to you, give you all thanksgiving. Bless your people, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The bondservants of our God, all 144,000, a symbolical number, who are sealed by the seal of the living God, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, they are gathered and standing before God, clothed in white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, participating in the eternal heavenly feast of tabernacle. They are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are gathered to worship our God together with many angels in heaven. And I pray that you will know and believe that is our present spiritual, heavenly reality. Verse 15. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. For this reason, it says, for they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Not by their own works, but by the righteousness of Christ and His blood. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him, serve God, day and night in His temple. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see your eternal reality. We serve God day and night, forever and ever. We are the priests of God forever. Who serves God in His temple? Priest. And you are the priests of God forever and ever. What we are looking at is exactly what we are doing right now as we worship our God. And what we are looking at is what we are forever in Christ. And what we are looking at is exactly what we will be doing in heaven forever. Does what you see in our passage make you happy? You know, I heard from a Christian who said that it might be so boring in heaven because all he's going to do is worshiping God. He just doesn't get it. Well, people who are bored worshiping God here on earth, yeah, maybe for them, it will be boring. But if you understand what worshiping God is all about, it's having fellowship with God. It's acknowledging who He is and who we are, and truly loving one another. This is the most precious time. And those of you who enjoy worship, you even want it not to end. And you will be granted that wish when you get to heaven. The worship in heaven will never stop. Your fellowship with God will never stop. You're exalting Him and praising His glorious name will never stop. Look at this beautiful picture that God shows us. We are His priests, and we serve Him day and night in His temple. Worshiping God, brothers and sisters, there is nothing we rather do than worshiping our God and enjoy the heavenly fellowship with Him. We are the priests of God. Chapter 1, verse 6, Jesus has made us to be a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9a, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We see in the Old Testament, the priests had to wash their bodies and wear the priestly garments. All point to our heavenly reality in Christ. We too are washed with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we too are wearing the priestly garment, the true priestly garment, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's plans that He had for us are now completely and perfectly fulfilled. Serving God day and night. Worshipping God forever and ever. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 33 says, Now these are the singers, heads of fathers' households of the Levites, who lived in the chambers of the temple, free from other services, for they were engaged in their work day and night. Even in the Old Testament, some of these blessed people, they have no other service but to serve God. They engage in their work of serving God day and night. And that is who we are and what we are going to be doing in heaven. Serving God. And that's exactly what worship is. That's why worship is sometimes called service. You serve God. Brothers and sisters, understand that this is our office, our eternal office. Now and forever. We are the priests of God. All other things that you might be doing are all secondary, all temporary. But we are priests forever. Now and forever. Wonderful thing that our Lord has accomplished for us. He made us priests to serve God. He who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. So here you see the picture. You and I, we are serving God in his temple, and God himself will spread his tabernacle over us. Just like in the Old Testament, priests went into the tabernacle. Tabernacle is a tent. So he will spread his tabernacle over us. What is this? We are gathered in the presence of God. God is always with his people. He is with us. Revelation 21 verse 3b, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. That is the final picture of what God is doing, what he is accomplishing. The very final picture is that God is with his people. Everything that he does in his redemptive history, everything that happens in this world is for that purpose. His people is with God, and God is with his people. God will spread his tabernacle over them. It shows that God will cover all of his people with his glory. Chapter 21, verse 22, And I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are His temple. Yes, we are in Him, and He is in us, for we are His temple, and His glory will cover us. We are filled with His glory. Inside and out, God's glory. Do you remember what happened when the tabernacle and the temple were completed in the Old Testament? The glory of God filled them. The perfect fulfillment of that is what we are looking at in our passage. Isaiah chapter 4 is completely and perfectly accomplished. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2 through 6. In that day, the day of the Messiah, in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. It will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all, the glory will be a canopy. There will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. And you have to understand, this is Old Testament language. In the Old Testament, the heavenly things, heavenly reality, is described and expressed with the earthly things and earthly realities. So you have to understand, even though heaven is described in an earthly language, you must understand that it points beyond what we see here on earth, but it is heavenly reality. So heaven is completely covered with God's glory. And not only that, that covering is a protection. There's nothing that is evil or anything that could destroy us can penetrate that covering. So in the Old Testament, people of God, they sang this in Psalms when they were inside of the temple, inside of the tabernacle, meaning inside of God's covering, they feel secure. And that is what we're looking at. Now the heavenly temple is accomplished, and God's glory is covering the whole area. God's glory is covering you. You are protected and you are filled with God's glory. And you are inside of that covering, meaning only people who could go inside of that covering, tabernacle, were priests. And that reality is shown to us from our passage. Yes, we are inside of his coverings because we are his priests. The glory of God, like a tent, is now spread over the people of God. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 27 says, "My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." My dwelling place also will be with my people, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Beautiful, beautiful picture. God and his people in an intimate relationship of love and joy, living together forever and ever. And that is what heaven is all about. In his presence, having the intimate heavenly fellowship with him, worshiping and praising him and his holy name. This fellowship, this worship, there is no end. It's forever. And what is amazing is that it is also our present spiritual heavenly reality. Our worship right now witnesses that reality right now. And that is what you need to believe as you worship your God. We are already participating in that heavenly worship of God. You and I are already priests of God in Jesus Christ. Do you see yourself in heaven worshiping God as His priest? This is who you are, and this is what you are doing, even as you worship your God right now. See, this is not some story that is so foreign to you. This is about you. This is about what Christ has accomplished. And I want you to look at your heavenly reality, because that is the only thing that could cause you to endure this world, this sinful world. Because whatever that you see out here, this is not everything. There is another world, another reality for you. Unless you don't believe, like non-Christians, well, for them, this world is what they want. This sinful world is what they want. So, of course, they're not going to like what they see in the Bible. But you and I, we are not like that. We are God's people who believe. And even as we want to live like a Christian here in this world, we're suffered. We're persecuted. And sometimes that suffering and persecutions are pretty great. And only way that you will be able to endure with joy is that you see this heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. There is no true rest in this world. There is no forever joy in this world. Don't be deceived. And the Bible and Bible alone, God's Word alone, is the one who helps you to focus on that eternal reality. And let us continue to see who we are and how we are in heaven. Verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. Our pilgrim life is not forever, brothers and sisters. We do not live here forever. Our life of the wilderness is not forever. Heaven is not the wilderness. When we get to heaven, all needs, our needs will be completely met according to God's will. You will be completely and perfectly satisfied. Isaiah 49 verse 10, they will not hunger or thirst, neither will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For He who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them to springs of water. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Your spiritual reality. Psalm 91. Verse 1. Psalm 91 verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God himself is our refuge and our fortress. Go down to verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that strikes in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. There is no more hunger nor thirst. Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2 and verse 5. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 36, verse 8. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delight. Beautiful language, huh? The abundance of God's house, that is yours, and the river of God's delight, you will drink from it. There is nothing that could harm us in heaven. You're completely protected. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 7a, and the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Revelation 16 verse 8, there we see a picture of the judgment of God. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. That is symbolical language. And we're not just talking about God's protection is just from sun and moon, because when heaven is completely consummated, there will be no sun and moon. This is symbolical language, but nothing will harm us in heaven. No more judgment, because this harming is judgment of God. For verse 17, no more judgment. Why? Verse 17 in our passage. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to springs of water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. Another beautiful picture of heaven. Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and he will guide us to springs of the water of life, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. Jesus is our shepherd. Yes, the Lamb is also the shepherd. That is why he knows perfectly what is to be a lamb, what is to be a man. He became one. He knows us, and he knows what we face. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Yes. The shepherd, your shepherd, knows what you are going through, knows the temptations that you face, because he was one. And he's still understands that. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Understand your heavenly reality, your spiritual reality. God is with you. And you drink from the river of His delight. You have to believe and know. If your life seems so dry, so dull, it is because you do not know your heavenly reality. You cannot believe something you do not know. God shows you through His Word this beautiful reality that Christ has accomplished. This is true of you. Ezekiel 34. Let me read from verse 11. Jesus came to us as a shepherd. And from the Old Testament, God has promised that that's exactly what He will do. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Do you see in our verse, Revelation, chapter 7, verse 17, that this promise of God in the Old Testament is now completely and perfectly fulfilled? Yes, God came as a shepherd, He gathered us, and now He feeds us, and we drink abundantly. Verse 23 of Ezekiel 34. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, King David is actually before. But Ezekiel speaks of King David. Now we know that that is Jesus Christ because He is the root. He came from David line. Jesus is the son of David. And that has been accomplished completely and perfectly by our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Beautiful picture of how God cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 25, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, will lead us to springs of the water of life. God is the fountain of the living water. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13. And the picture is that our Lord, shepherd who cares for his sheep, who actually dies for his sheep. He leads his sheep to the springs of the water of life. And you have to understand and believe that that is exactly what he's doing even now. Even as you sit there and hearing his word, he's leading you. But he's not leading you to the world. He's leading you to the springs of life, eternal life. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 verse 35 says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. John chapter 7 verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this, he spoke of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4 verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of springing up to eternal life. Yes, he will guide you to the springs of the living water. But that is already your spiritual heavenly reality, because that spring of water is already in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. We are very consistent. We see picture of heaven, but we also understand that spiritually, it is already our reality. Do you see your Lord by the word leading to the spring of living water? Yes, that river of living water is flowing forever and ever in you. He lives in you. Jesus is the rock that gives the water of life. Jesus is the bread of heaven. The solution to the hunger and the thirst is our Lord Jesus Christ. The water of life flows continually from the temple. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 4. Look at heaven from these verses. Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and the bond servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Isaiah 33, verse 21, but there the majestic one, the Lord, shall be for us a place of rivers and wide canals, and which no boat with oars shall go, and on which no mighty ship shall pass. The picture is that river is just big. So from God and the Lamb, this living water flows forever and ever. Holy Spirit is given to His people. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Your shepherd, Jesus Christ, leads you even now. But understand, in order for him to do all this, this shepherd is also the Lamb. He became a Lamb. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own knows me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And he became a sheep, a lamb. Amazing grace. Yes, Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave his life for his sheep. And that is what we see on the cross through his death and resurrection. The heavenly reality that we are looking at is now accomplished. And he gives us abundantly. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What's the picture that we see from this phrase? They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more, anymore. Neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. No more. Meaning that when we live our lives here on earth, we will face these things. If God shows us a picture of heaven and he says, there, these things are no more, meaning that when we live here on earth, these things are, we do face them. But in heaven, they are no more. So expect to face these things, these difficulties, these persecutions and sufferings here on earth. But in heaven, there are no more. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, Paul says, I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and he continues on and on. He faced all that difficult times. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God, I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That is the description of our life here on earth. Hunger, thirst, harm. And when we looked at the seven churches, many people went through persecutions and sufferings and poverty and even death. Here we will experience these things. And we are not just talking about the physical experiences. But in heaven, no more. And all our thirst, all our hunger. And we're not just talking about physical food. Even those things are no more because we will be completely and perfectly satisfied. But spiritually, that is your present reality. Even as you live a life of suffering and persecution, your understanding, your belief is that everything is accomplished. That's what the Bible teaches. People just don't believe. Let us focus our eyes upon heaven. Because everything that you experience here will end. Focusing on heaven is the most foolish thing to the world. They will laugh at you. But we are called to look to heaven. Brothers and sisters, never have your hope in this world. Don't be deceived. Even for some Christians, their God is not true God, but they think that their God is the ability and the power of this world. They think without this world's power and ability that they cannot make it. Don't be deceived. You live by the power of God. And when that end comes, the power of this world and ability of this world mean nothing when Jesus returns. Don't be found naked when that day comes, but that you are ready for His return. Of course, unless the Bible is a false, and all this is just lie. But if Jesus actually, if He will come back, then you cannot live according to this world, because that will be the foolish thing. Because when that day comes, everything that you worked for this world is no more. We are called to hope in Jesus Christ and in the things that He has accomplished for us. And that is why God wrote this Bible to you, to show you your eternal reality, to show you your heavenly reality. Romans 8, let us go there together, Romans 8. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What is he trying to say? That when you live in this world, you will face tribulation. You will face distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sore. You will face all this. But even those things are not the indication that God's love for you has been cut off. Those things will not separate us. Even when you go through those kind of sufferings, it is not the indication that you have been separated from the love of Christ. No. But it actually saying that you are going through these things. You will go through these things. But don't think when you go through it that God does not love you anymore. Because it does not mean that. Verse 36, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. foolishness to this world. I mean, look at what it's saying. How are you to live? You live as if you are a sheep to be slaughtered. Because that's how Jesus lived. Jesus was actually slaughtered by this world. And even when he was captured and being taken to that slaughtered place, there's no complaint. He gladly did it. For that was his Father's will for him. And you are called to the same life. And see, this is what you need to understand. Being called to live the same life is your honor. It's glory. I don't know why people just don't like it. It should be your glory because now God is considering you worthy to participate in the sufferings of Christ. To live the same life that Christ lived. This should be our honor and glory. Not something that you want to reject. Verse 36. This is the confession of God's people. For your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's your faith. Even if I die here, I know God is with me. And brothers and sisters, hear this. Hear this. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Again, if you understand that correctly, that means in this world, there will be lots of tears. I mean, if there is no tears, why would he need to wipe that tears away? Living as a Christian in this world is hard. God never said it will be easy. But it was your desire to follow Christ because you love him. Oh yes, there are many, many times, especially for you guys, you know, because guys must be macho. There are many, many times you will cry in your shower because life is hard. But remember, in heaven those tears are no more. And spiritually, that is our present reality. If you understand and believe what Christ has accomplished already spiritually, then you are able to even endure with joy. Yes, your tears are wiped away already. Isaiah 25 verse 8, he will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. He will wipe away every tear. But you have to understand this. When you want to follow Christ, it will be hard to follow Christ. That's why there will be tears. But if you endure and if you follow Christ, there will be tears, but that tears will be wiped away. But if you compromise, then it's just we just sin. But you repent. And live this glorious life once again. But why does God show us this heaven's picture? So that you will look at it. And that will give you joy so that you could endure with joy rather than compromise with this world. Because only way that you will triumph over this world is that you will look at heaven and believe. There's no other way. Any other way, you will compromise with the world. But it's okay, brothers and sisters. It's okay that the world doesn't recognize you. It's okay that you lose out because you want to follow Christ. It's okay. You don't have to be successful in this world. You don't have to, you know, get a great job or graduate from great school. It's okay if you don't. Don't be deceived. World says you must, but no, God says you don't have to. And I'm not talking about you just living lazy life, no. But you are doing everything for the glory of God. Don't ever forget that. How can you do, you say, how can you, you know, you do all this and you diligently do all that and you say it is for the glory of God, but by reaching that goal you will compromise with the world. That, it just doesn't make any sense. Even if you don't meet that goal, don't compromise. Then you triumph. So what if you don't make it in this world? Your focus should be not making it in this world, but not compromising, not sinning. Because our ultimate triumph, our ultimate accomplishment is not sinning. And God is not unreasonable. Don't think that God is so unreasonable asking us to live this way. He's not unreasonable because He lived that life already. He lived it for you. And He knows exactly what that life is all about. Second Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3, our God is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Tear is associated with sin and curse, but all is wiped away by our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5 verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Revelation 21 verse 4, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. This is also our present spiritual reality. Psalm 27 verse 1, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. Exactly our desire. Your whole goal, the goal of your whole life is to see our God. And the goal of all that God does is to see you, is to be with you. And He is not interested in anything else. Yeah, I don't mind you living, giving everything. everything you have in whatever that you're doing. Please do that. But you do that for the glory of God. You do that for Him, not for anything else. And if you do that for Him, then you will do that in according to His word. It's not just doing it, accomplishing it, and on the way of accomplishment, you just compromise with the world and you sin like crazy. That's not what He wants. But understand, all your tears will be wiped away. Yeah, it's okay to cry. This life makes us cry. But no more crying in heaven. God will comfort us. All is now accomplished. Our God comforts us with what He has accomplished for us in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, be comforted. Yes, it is hard living as a Christian, but let us not compromise, but look at what God has accomplished for you. That will make you endure. Look at your Lord and Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 10, God says, "Sing for joy and be glad, O daughters of Zion. For I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord." Be joyous, brothers and sisters, just for that one reason, God is with us. And if He is with us, we are satisfied. Because that is what heaven is all about. Our goal is to be with God. And His goal is to be with us. And it is perfectly accomplished by Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice. Let's pray.